accession number 23205, Reel 4.
Tony Leake, Reel 4.
I'm okay now.
Yes.
Yeah. So, on Christmas Eve, we went to Dover. We had a Christmas dinner there. Oh no, wait a minute. Yes, we had one before we left our... At that time we were at a place near Bath called Corsham, instead of Tilshead. We had a Christmas dinner there before we went. We got to Dover, it was Christmas Eve, and they gave us another one there. And then we sailed across to Calais, which had just opened as a port, on Christmas Day. And then they drove us into Belgium. There was a panic on you. They were frightened that the Germans were going to break right through to Antwerp and split the British fort and Canadians from the Americans. And so we landed up near Brussels. And we were there for about a week. And then they sent us to the New Year's Day to be about then it started snowing. And they sent us to the Ardennes, to the River Marse. They call it the Marse in Holland, the Meuse in Belgium. We were in Belgium. And we were there out in the snow, and it was bitterly cold, bitterly cold. People got, I don't know if they got frostbite, but they got trouble with their feet. And the weather was really appalling. Sort of 20 degrees below, and with no winter clothing. Of course, the Jerrys had got it all, they were used to it in Russia with all the snow suits and warm stuff. We hadn't, and you couldn't light fires in the house because it gave the position away. And we were out in the snow, and there again we had another unfortunate incident when a patrol went out, came back again, and was shot at by our own people, and the sergeant, an officer, and another man were killed. But these things happened.
You weren't involved with that?
Oh, no. But where we took over from these ordinary infantry, I think they were the Welsh regiment, the night before, a corporal in his section, I don't know how many men he had, six men perhaps, and all deserted together. The conditions were so appalling. And they never tell you this, but in the British Army, I mean, there again, it's hearsay, I mean, it isn't true research work, but it is said that there was the equivalent at any one time in the British 21st Army Group of one division down with VD and another one of deserters.
Did you personally know of cases of either?
Well, no, not really. But, I mean, I wouldn't have known about fellows who had it and went up, or were out of action because of it. But we did have one sergeant who deserted, and he was the only one I heard of during the whole of the campaign from Normandy to the Baltic. But they caught up with him.
Do you know why he did it?
Don't know, girlfriend, I think, Belgium, something like that. But, I mean, the conditions were appalling. I mean, it's not so, you can understand why they would if they weren't sort of elite troops like the parachute regiment. You've got to remember that the difference, the para regiment and a lot of these other units, is they were all volunteers. Nobody could be made to parachute. But once you'd got your wings, if you failed to parachute, you said, I'm not going, I don't want to, I can't do it today. It was treated like a refusal to obey an order, and you got 84 days detention in a military prison, which was very, very hard going. And you got drummed out as well. You didn't go back to your unit, you got returned to the infantry. And so we had a higher standard. And I think my own, this again is opinion, that nearly any of the men in the para battalions was capable of being an NCO or an officer. Just a general higher standard of people. Anyway, where do we get to? We got to the out in the cold, cold snow. And then eventually we had about 3 weeks of that, and then we went to Holland, where we held positions on the front line on the banks of the River Maas. But there again, this was pretty quiet stuff. We got very few casualties. It was just a matter of occupying the area.
Any relations with the local civilians?
Not much. They were pretty well short of food, I think. But I think the worst of the Germans made the Dutch suffer in the more westerly parts of Holland, because they'd sheltered a lot of the invaders from Arnhem, and they really starved them deliberately. But whilst I was in Holland, I'd applied one, and when I went back after I'd had Normandy, I thought I had enough of this killing, so I volunteered to transfer to the Airborne RAMC. My transfer came through about the middle of February. So I went to the 224 Parachute Field Ambulance, which was attached to the 3rd Para Brigade, which was the 8th, 9th and 1st Canadian Battalions. And they were the ones who had their own units, the headquarters, and they also all had RAMC men whose parent unit was the 224, who were attached to the battalions, and each battalion would have about 20 RAMC men as medics. And then came back to England, to Beaufort, and I jumped again on the Rhine drop on the 24th of March.
What qualifications did you have to operate in RAMC?
Didn't have any, they just took me because I knew a bit of first aid and that sort of thing. But I don't know, but I knew quite a bit about first aid, but that was about all. And so again, I was a Lance Corporal in the Para Regiment, down to private again.
What had you been prior to then?
Well, I was a private until I was promoted to Lance Corporal when I went back to the 8th Battalion. And then I was private again when I transferred to the RAMC, of course. And it was with them in Holland for a little while, and then we came back to England to prepare for the jump over the Rhine. And I, on that jump, they were sorting out the sticks of where people should be. And I managed to get myself near the front. I thought, well, I don't want to stay in a plane too long. And so I jumped about number four, I think it was. And the Americans flew us this time. And it was in broad daylight on a spring morning. And, of course, much more dangerous than dropping at night in Normandy. At least you had a chance, you know. And these Americans, they were marvellous flyers. They flew in formation. What they call 9 ship elements. Have you heard of them?
No.
Well, you have three planes, 1, 2, 3, in a sort of V formation. And you have three of these Vs together. Well, I'll show you with a bit of paper. Well, anyway, it doesn't matter. Anyway, they call them 9 ship elements. And they flew in absolutely tight formation. And we were in this lot of about 36 planes. And they flew at 1,000 feet. They flew too high. Not only that, they arrived at the DZ 10 minutes early, before the British softening up barrage had finished. So when we jumped, it was a bad area to jump because there were woods around, and there weren't any big drop-in zones like there were in Normandy, where you got great areas of ploughed fields. And I had a very bad jump. I was jumping with a bundle thing. This time it was a folding stretcher with a blanket wrapped round it on a rope, like the kit bag I explained to you previously. Unfortunately, I got what they call twists when the straps above my head on the parachute got twisted round. And instead of being able to hold it like this, it's just one lock round. And also, when I pulled the quick release, it wouldn't work at first, so there's a delay with that. And then they make matters worse, the rope of the kit of the bundle ran through my hands and took the skin off, and I landed backwards. So altogether it was a very disastrous thing, but I was luckier than a lot of people, because the Germans were firing at us all. They were coming down, sitting duck targets. And dreadful, and the slaughter was awful. I mean, the 8th Battalion lost about 39 killed in a few minutes. The Germans were around this DZ, and it was touch and go, and it was so sad. Sorry. Oh, so sad, because it was so near to the end of the war, and all these lads were killed and seriously wounded. And the real slaughter, it was the worst I've seen in the whole of the war, what happened on that DZ. And eventually they overcame the opposition. But, you know, I think, my own opinion, I mean, again, this is their only opinion, not fact. I think they wanted to get the war finished as quickly as they could. They didn't really need an airborne operation there, because they'd crossed the Rhine successfully before we arrived. But I think there was a fear that the Germans might have something like a nuclear weapon and put it on a V2 rocket. Although they say they weren't as advanced as that, but who's to know? I mean, intelligence isn't always accurate, is it?
So how did you land?
Well, I landed backwards, but fortunately it was soft soil, because it was a ploughed field. It was a small ploughed field. So I didn't hurt myself that way, but it does shake you up a bit more when you land backwards and you can't brace yourself properly. And I think that's why I'm hobbling around now, injured my spine. And hips, I've got two new hips. And my spine's pretty rigid. And I think it's all due to parachuting. So, they soon overcame opposition, and then we moved across Germany. And although I was with the headquarters of the 224 Field Ambulance, I went back as a medic to the 8th Battalion. And we marched a long way across Germany. It was getting on for 400 miles. It wasn't all on foot. Some of it was in trucks, but I think half of it was on foot. And we were the first British troops to meet the Russians at Wismar, W-I-S-M-A-R, on the Baltic. Right at the beginning of May, I don't know what it would be, about the 2nd of May, something like that.
Can you describe your work as a medical orderly with a para as you crossed Germany? Was it involved?
Well, there wasn't a lot to do. I mean, the main thing was just to be there in case anybody was badly wounded, but we'd have very little action, either close counters or guns firing us or anything. The Germans were in retreat, really, all the time. I mean, there was opposition. It wasn't that it was so easy. But the interesting thing was, on the last day before we met the Russians, we did this about 40 miles from, or so, from the River Elbe to the Baltic. And we were on trucks that day, because they were rushing across to cut the prevent the Russians from going up to Denmark. So they reckon they'd be doing that, or up to that part of Germany, that near the Kiel Canal, round there. They do have a bit of a seaboard, don't they, that side? And, sorry, just a minute, I lost track. Oh, yes. There were so many Jerrys surrendering, it looked like the London Marathon coming down the road. Solid with Germans, armed, we didn't bother to disarm, and they were so pleased to be taken prisoner by the British rather than the Russians, who would have given them short shift. There was no problem over them. There was nobody sort of trying to be difficult and shooting at us or anything. And the 6th Air, I mean, we weren't just the only unit in the 6th Airborne Division, but the division met the Russians at Wismar, and that was the end of the war in Europe, as far as we were concerned.
What did you make of the Russians you came across at Wismar?
Well, I think, as far as I remember, they weren't terribly scruffy or anything like that. They seemed quite professional about it. But as soon as that happened, the whole attitude changed. The Germans were no longer the enemy, but the Russians were, the official attitude, you know. Somehow or other, you know, they're only allies of convenience. Now there are... you got this impression, I mean, it wasn't said so, but it, you know, that was the feeling. So that was the end of my sort of active service days. And we were in Germany for 3 or 4 weeks, and then we came back to England. And then we got ready to go out to Burma. And we thought, well, we survived Europe, we'll be lucky if we survived Burma. So in a way, dropping the atomic bomb in Japan sort of saved my life, because I couldn't see my luck holding out much longer. Because I'd done well to survive two airborne operations and two lots of being wounded. I thought, you know, it won't last forever. And so instead of going to Burma, we got all our jungle kit, we were all ready to go, and then the Japs surrendered. This was in August. Advanced parties had gone to India. We got all this jungle green kit, instead of which they sent us to Palestine.
What happened to you there?
Well, we had a bit of a... It was quite easy there. I mean, it was just sort of policing duties, really. And a bit like it is in Northern Ireland.
Where were you based in Palestine?
Oh, we went in different places. We've been at Gaza, and then we went to... what they call Castina, and the trouble was, I mean, they had these terrorists who are now Sharon's friends, or about his age, who were making life difficult for the British, like the IRA. They blew up the King David Hotel in Jerusalem, which was a taken over, I think, by the British Army, and they killed a lot of people there. And there were all these minor terrorist activities against British troops.
Did you feel apprehensive in Palestine yourself?
Oh, not terribly. I mean, it wasn't as big a risk as it is in the real warfare. There's always a possibility, but we didn't feel it was, you know, not particularly worried about it, no.
Did you get shot at?
No, we had the... The worst thing we had to deal with was when they had riots in Tel Aviv. And we had to deal with that, and it was pretty frightening. There was only a few of us dealing with all these hundreds of rioting Jews. But it wasn't, I mean, it wasn't frightening, not really.
How did you deal with the riots?
They read the Riot Act, believe it or not. They had a magistrate, read the Riot Act, and banners up, disperse or we fire.
Was that effective?
Well, fairly, and then they shot a few of the ringleaders, and that was more effective. At least I think they did. I didn't actually see any ringleaders who'd been, you know, see any shooting. I mean, this is just what appeared to happen. But there wasn't, I mean, there's virtually no bloodshed over it.
Were you being stoned?
Oh, they were throwing stuff at us, yeah, yeah.
Enough to cause casualties amongst the paras?
No, I don't think so. I don't think anybody got seriously hurt. Of course, we would have had our helmets on. That protects you quite a lot.
Did you and your comrades have any sympathies with either side in the situation, or did
you? Well, we were more sympathetic towards the Arabs because we had no trouble from them. It was only the Jews that were causing trouble. And then they tried to land it, these ships full of illegal immigrants from Europe. But if they had trouble with it, what they used to do, they didn't do it like in Ireland, they would cordon off a section of the, say, Tel Aviv or a Jewish settlement, and they'd search every place there. Cordon and search, they called it. And of course, they unearthed a lot of illegal weapons that way. But, yeah.
So about how long do you think you were in Palestine?
Well, I was in just about a year. And then I came out and went to medical school.
So how do you feel now about having served with the paras in the Second World War?
Well, I'm quite proud of it in a way. I mean, it was sad that the... I'm a pacifist now. I don't like wars at all. I mean, it's a horrible business. But you got to understand the feeling then. I mean, you know, it was a matter of survival. I mean, if we didn't do something about it, the Jews would have overrun us. You know, if we'd all said, OK, come in, or we surrendered like the French did.
Has it made you literally a pacifist?
Yeah, I don't believe in war now. No, I don't. I don't believe in all this sending big sticks, sending troops to Afghanistan and Bosnia and all these other places. I think we should do what they're supposed to do. Ministry of Defence should be for defence of Britain, not fighting other people's wars. I think it's all wrong.
So you were injured twice, once on the 17th of August,
yeah,
and once on the Rhine crossing. When
No, I was injured a bit when the ground strafed us, that fighter plane shot and killed the man next to me. I got a bit of shrapnel in my hand. It wasn't anything, though. That was only a minor one.
But you've suffered from your heavy landing on the Rhine crossing.
Well, I think so. I think that's when I really damaged my back. Because I'm a war pensioner. They give me a 30% disability, but not from the hips, because I think the hips were due to parachuting, but they wouldn't have that. This is for the spine, because it presses on the nerves going down my leg.
So are you in pain all the time?
No, not so bad. I mean, it's not severe. It was with my hip, but not with my back. I'm lucky. I mean, I've lasted... now 58 years longer than a lot of my comrades. And what they ought to do with people like Tony Blair is take him round the war cemeteries, let him read the inscriptions on the graves and look at the ages of the fellas there, a lot of them between 18 and 25, and a little epitaph they write on the bottom. Very moving, isn't it, Joyce?